Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, time to talk some college football, some NFL football with James Laurinaitis.
Wait. You think we're going to talk football with James Laurinaitis when you got that wrestling freak over there? You know he's going to want to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, maybe. But James, former Ohio State Buckeye, NFL linebacker, now at the Big Ten Network and SiriusXM. James, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing great.
Doing really well, and I'd like to see you on the Big Ten Network. That's a really cool gig that you were able to get. Is that something that you had your eye on, even your playing career? Because to me, I mean, you're such a beast out there on the field. Like, you look at someone like Brian, and you're thinking, you know, he's going to go into TV and radio. But I didn't quite see it from you at first. Did you envision that happening?
I did. I think it was either between trying to do something on TV or else be involved in coaching. And having two young daughters right now, one being almost 3 years old here in September, and the other one waking me up in the middle of the night still at 5 months. Those two are demanding a lot of my time, and so I was thinking, you know, gosh, I love the game of football. It's what I've done since fourth grade, and it's just something that I can't do my whole life and just be like, okay, I'm done. You know, time to walk away. So I figured, I'm going to be talking about it every single weekend anyway, and so let's go and try to make a career out of it. But doing broadcast boot camp this off season really helped kind of guide that it was going to be something that I thought I could do, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
So you're surprised he's going this route, and you weren't surprised I went this route?
That's right, yeah.
Why are you not surprised I went this route?
Because you're louder, and you can't be a coach.
Why can't I be a coach?
Well, you always tell me you can't be a coach.
I know it. Well, not because I'm loud. Coaches need to be loud.
Yeah, but you don't have enough patience to coach.
True.
Like James could coach.
James, could you coach?
I could, but here's the hard thing. I think it'd only be the NFL level. I'm not big on this whole the whole recruiting and how recruiting has kind of gotten out of control, and now there's early signing periods and yada, yada, yada. It's just it's a nonstop gig, so. But then I every time I think about, man, to be a part of a team and go out there, I just think about, and you know this, the time. I mean, mm-hmm. out at the facility a ton in season. But these coaches are there before me, and they're there way after me. And I always used to ask myself, like, I don't know what the heck they're looking at over and over and over and over and over and over.
And then some of them want you to look at it over and over and over and over and over and over.
They need to go home.
Yeah, some of them like to meet just to meet. Those were those not the good
my
coaches.
The meetings, the staff meetings about the future meetings.
Yeah,
that's always my favorite.
So, how difficult has this transition been? You're fresh out of the NFL now, and of course, training camp hits, and you know, for the last 8 or 9, 10 years, you've been right there in the mix of it, and all of a sudden, whoa! I don't have to pack up everything, say goodbye to the family, and head to a dorm room for the next 5, 6 weeks.
Tell you what, my body feels great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy that I'm not going through that grind. I mean, I do yard work sometimes, and I'll get all sweaty and everything. I'm like, gosh, can I imagine having a helmet and pads on and hitting linemen and then basically colliding with running backs? You know, I love, like I said, I love the game of football, but I feel like over the last few years with the way that my knee had felt, basically just the maintenance of it, nothing major that I've ever gone through, but just the maintenance and wear and tear, it didn't become fun to work out anymore. And I was always pride myself on being a guy who was in the gym a lot. Basically, my whole thing was I had to be smarter, and I had to basically try to outwork you because I wasn't as athletically talented as a lot of people I was playing with in the National Football League. And when I lost that ability to try to out-train people, then it became, well, I'm just trying to hold on. You know, I'm trying to hold on to the door of like a train going down the tracks because the NFL train keeps moving. But I just really felt myself trying to hold on, and finally I was just like, you know what, I've been blessed to have made a good living playing in the National Football League, but now it's time for that next chapter. And the transition's been pretty smooth. My wife probably would say otherwise, being home every day since really November is an eye-opener for her. I ruined her system, I think, and kind of her flow and how she had the house in line. But I'm excited for really the football season to get started so that I can, you know, basically start this TV stuff and analyze some college football and some pro football.
Geo and Jones with former linebacker James Laurinaitis, now with the Big Ten Network. All right, let's talk some Big Ten football. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. How do you think that those three will end up shaking out when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I think, and this is not, everyone's going to call it bias, right, and call me a homer, but I think Ohio State is top to bottom the most talented roster in the Big Ten. Now, I was surprised with the preseason kind of predictions that the Cleveland paper does when they gather all the Big Ten kind of writers and they do it like an unofficial, basically, predictions for the teams. They have, I think, 34 writers had Ohio State first and only five or something for Penn State second. And I was like, look, in my opinion, Penn State has more returning production. We talk about guys who have actually played and put stats on the field than Ohio State does. Now, that game's in Columbus this year. That's why I like the Buckeyes to win the East. And then in the West, I like Wisconsin. Same thing. I mean, Wisconsin, I was reading yesterday, they've been in the Big Ten Championship four out of the six times it's even been around. It's pretty remarkable to see the consistency that they've had. So I'm going to be a homer and say Ohio State, but it's not just because I've played there, right? It's because I think they had the game versus Penn State in Columbus, Ohio. And then if you're Michigan, it's all going to come down to how do they start? How do they start against Florida? Can they get through that game and get some momentum?
Greg Schiano, your new defensive coordinator there, Ohio State, said that D-line is better than some of the D-lines he had at the NFL level. You play at the NFL level. Is that just hyperbole? I know they're good. I love Sam Hubbard, Tyquan Lewis. I know they're good, but better than some of the D-lines he's had in the NFL, that's going overboard, wouldn't you say, a little bit?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely going overboard. When I was with them last week, I believe, last week I was with him, and A.J. Hawk and I were up there and doing Ohio State camp tour, and we asked him about it, and he didn't back down from it. He said, listen, I knew it was going to put a lot of pressure on these guys. I knew that my room could handle it. He's like, but I look at this talent in this room, and he's like, it's not just the guys that people know about. It's these young kids as well that have come in, and he really believes he has six guys in that D-line that are going to play in the National Football League. So if you look at it from that perspective, and you're saying, okay, well, maybe he's got an argument, but to say that they're better than guys that were already in the league when he was a coach, it's going a little far. And I think it goes right on lines where you see, you know, every year you have a guy, some group of people on Twitter, right? They're always like, oh, Alabama could beat the Browns. So I just, all right, let's pump our brakes a little bit.
Right.
You know, let's just stop. Like, I get it. Like, the Browns are struggling. I've been a part of some of those teams. I was on a 1-15 Rams team, 2-14. But there's no way a college team was going to beat us. There's just no way. No matter how bad we were, there was no way. So, listen, the talent that they have there, I mean, they have a D lineman, Chase Young. The kid's 6'5", like 265, and then all the coaches say that he could beat most of their linebackers in like a 10-yard split. I mean, they have freaks that are there, and Urban has just been able to roll them through. And so I think that's why Coach Schiano is so high in his group.
You mentioned you went through a 1-15 season. I went through a 1-15 season. How did you get through that? How difficult was it to go to work each and every week?
Well, I was young. You know, that was my – I believe that was my rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really young. And to be honest with you, I looked up to guys like Steven Jackson and said, you know what, this guy's been a vet here for a while. And Steven would just come to work. You would see him in the cold tub. And it's hard. I mean, it's really, as you know, it's really hard going through a pro football season when you're eliminated from the playoffs in October, especially. So you're sitting there and you're like, okay, well, what am I playing for? Well, I love the game still, so that's my passion on Sunday is going to be easy, but it's really how do I prepare through the week? Because that's when you start seeing everything get kind of harder. Other guys are starting to get a little bit checked out, and plus just naturally with the time and winter, it gets darker earlier, so you just feel like you're in a prison almost. But you really just keep doing the same routine over and over, and that's what I've learned from Steven Jackson and O.J. Otagwe. You still do the cold tub. You still do everything that you would do, whether everything was going really well, because essentially the tape that you're going to put on, the slip you're going to put on tape, excuse me, is stuff that's going to either give the front office hope to believe that you're part of the solution or you're part of the problem. So you really just kept your head down and kept grinding and trying to stay positive. And quite frankly, every Sunday I was still naive enough to go out there and say, man, this is the week we're going to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the only way you can do it. Because if you just, I feel like if you get so negative, goodness, you can become a cancer in that locker room, and you don't want to be that.
Gio and Jones with James Laurinaitis across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Brian and I had to do some video thing yesterday. One of the questions was, who's got the best defense in the NFL? And going through every team, I mean, it's tough to come up with a lot of good defenses in the NFL. Now, maybe somebody emerges this year that we weren't expecting, but you've got Houston, you've got Denver, Baltimore. But, I mean, this league is so geared towards
Giants.
The Giants, yeah, good defense, absolutely. They were good last year. But, I mean, that's just four when you could think of a lot more good offenses. Where do you think the defenses as a whole are in the NFL right now? Are we going to see more than like four good defenses in the league this year or not?
You know, it's hard because I feel like the term good defense has kind of gotten a little skewed with the way the game has changed, right? I don't think the expectations, I remember growing up and you had the Ravens defenses and the Buccaneers defenses that really won Super Bowls. And now, because of the way the game has basically spread out, it's exploded. Offenses are doing a lot more different stuff. I was talking to my wife about this yesterday. I was like, I'm not sure that if I came out in this draft, I would have been drafted second round. I think the game has changed. You know, when I played in the Big Ten and even early on, it was a lot more 21 personnel, 22 personnel, mm-hmm. where, you know, two backs, two tights, and suited for me. All this 11 stuff, I was able to survive, but that was for a couple downs a game back then, early in my career. Now it's 11 almost all the time, and teams, it's all about mismatches. And so I think the numbers and what you consider good defense, I mean, I remember watching some games when the Seahawks were really rolling on defense a couple years ago, and they're like, man, this defense is playing great. And they'd already given up 24 points in the game. I'm like, what are we talking about? Playing great, 24 points? Like, to us, a great defense was you're not holding up. You better hold them under 17.
Yep.
So when I think about it, though, I do love the Texans. I love what they're able to do. I love, obviously, Mike Vrabel is a guy that I've gotten to know over the years, just being an alumni of Ohio State. But I love what he has. And I think, goodness, Clowney coming along and J.J. Watt and Cushing. I mean, those guys all down there statistically were the best defense last year. If you keep J.J. Watt healthy and Clowney healthy and let them see what they can reach and their max potential, I like what Houston has, and I really think it's the perfect situation for Deshaun Watson to basically be drafted into, right? You don't have to do a whole lot. Basically, just let your defense set you up and then capitalize on those opportunities.
Yeah, playing in space, man. You have to be able to do that in today's game, and they do spread you out quite a bit. 10 personnel, we had a lot of that, especially with the Rams back, the greatest show on turf. So you had to get ready a lot of that. When you took on Tom Brady, because we know they're going to be right back in the mix as they are each and every season. When you took on Brady in that offense, what was your overarching plan to try to slow them down?
Well, what Josh McDaniels does with his game planning, and I think almost usually better than a lot of other offensive coordinators, I think Kyle Shanahan does a really good job of this as well, is he matches up exact run plays with exact play action looks. I never understood why teams would do these play action pass plays for protection purposes and you know, where the guard would pull to the two-man surface. Well, there's no run play in the history of football that I've seen where only one guard pulls to the weak side.
Mm-hmm.
It's always play action pass. And so a lot of teams give away tips because they don't run plays that way. Now, if you do two people pulling, where it's a guard and a tight end, you know, fake counter action, then I can get that. You might fool me, but if you do one, there's not one play that ever happens that way. So I never understood why offenses just give away that way. Josh McDaniels will run certain running plays and then run the exact same look, but it'll be a play action. And so it makes it hard because Tom always tries to, not only will do that, but then he'll go fast, he'll go slow, he'll change up the tempo, and he's just, you know, in my opinion, the best quarterback ever. So you do those combinations, it makes it hard to slow them down. Every week you go in, you're like, well, we're just going to stop the rushing attack. We we thought we had a good chance to really match up with them well when we played them in London, goodness, 3-4 years ago now. And the thing is with Tom is that he is essentially a coach on the field. He's a genius. And if you can't get points to keep up with him, then it's a long day. And that goes back to what Belichick does so well and why I think his defenses, even though you don't look, when I think of best defenses, like we were just talked about, I don't think about the Patriots a lot of time, but what he does very well as a coach and schematically is he can take away your best weapon. And so I don't even know what our best weapon was with the Rams when we played them. But all I remember is we scored early, we got up 7-0, and then they scored basically the rest of the time. So it was a bad day for us. But it's so hard to prepare for New England. And you look at them now with the talent that they have, I mean, you're going to be hard to find many losses for the New England Patriots on that schedule because it's a Super Bowl team that has an unbelievable ability each and every offseason to just make it seem like they haven't accomplished anything and that, you know, they're angry at something and they need to go win again. And with the head coach and Tom having that mindset, you know, New England is a unique place.
Another minute with James Laurinaitis on CBS Sports Radio. If you were still in the league and your team had issues at the quarterback position and they signed Colin Kaepernick, what would you feel about it?
I'd be thinking that they were trying to win football games, quite frankly. I played against Colin 2 times every year. And the thing about Colin is that production-wise, it started to tail off as a football player, right? So we always felt like early on in his career, heck, we were part of the game where Jawan Dunbar hit Alex Smith and Colin comes in and boom, explodes in the scene. We had no idea what to do with him. I mean, just unbelievable freak running around everywhere, couldn't stop him. And then we figured out, okay, well, Colin stopped really running as effectively as he used to. So let's just bottom up in the pocket. And I think Colin tried to make a conscious decision to be a pocket passer, which he is not. And then some of his production goes down. But you still look at his numbers. Still a productive quarterback. The guy's won a ton of football games. He's played in the Super Bowl. So if I have a quarterback that goes down, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this guy's proven to get wins. Let's bring him in. What I love about football in general, and I get asked a lot about the whole, would you let your son, if you have one someday, play football? Yes, I would. And it's bigger than just the safety stuff and all that. For me, it's if I didn't play football, football has given me an opportunity to know what it's like, in my opinion, what society should really look like. And I'm in a locker room with people that, when I was in college, I'm out from suburban Minnesota. I'm not from inner city Cleveland, Ohio, but I play with a lot of guys from inner city Cleveland, Ohio, gentlemen who lived in their cars because their parents were in jail during high school, but they still graduated and they got down to Ohio State, got recruited because they're taken care of by high school coaches and stuff. These are people that became my brothers and guys that I fought with on a day-in, day-out basis. Now, do we see eye to eye politically or maybe about religion or about anything, about girls, whatever? No, not at all. But I love them, and they love me, and that's the beauty about football is that it brings people together, and you can disagree on any topic, yet you can have a conversation about it. I think society right now, it's like, if you don't agree with me, you're an idiot. And that's just it. And that's where we've gotten to. And I don't know if it's because of social media or anything, but for me, football teaches, and I don't know if you agree with me, but it teaches so many life lessons and how to get along with people that you might not see eye to eye with. And it really, in my opinion, what society should look like when you go inside an NFL locker room.
It teaches you conflict resolution because you have to
absolutely
get to solutions, a solution-oriented business. And if you don't, you're going to be 1-15.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes you can resolve a lot of conflicts and still be 1-15. Because I've always been blessed to be a part of great locker rooms, fun locker rooms. Colin has the right as an American to protest or do whatever he wants. But what he has done is he started a conversation that would not have been had if he hadn't done what he did. And I think what you're seeing right now, I mean, I love what Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long are doing and Rodney. Played with all three of those guys during some point in my career. I know the character of all three of those guys. It started a conversation about something, and for some reason, I think fans want to just be able to be like, when they tune on sports, they tune out the rest of the world and what's happening. But in today's day and age, I think really throughout time, we're not just football players. We're more than football players. People forget that we are human beings, and we are citizens just like everybody else. And we do have opinions on these things. I think just because of social media gives us an opportunity to voice those a lot of times. And it's uncharted waters right now with all this, but it's good to see people bringing up the conversation and trying to bring about positive change.
James, thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it. Best of luck this year.
Thank you.
James Laurinaitis, former NFL linebacker, now with the Big Ten Network.
Preach!
And Sirius XM.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play football as long as you guys did, not even close. But I always said that even though I didn't like my coaches when I played in high school, that it did things to me in a positive way that I carry today, like being punctual for
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that I was bad before football, but I have this fear in me of being late for things because of the shame that you would feel on the football field if everybody started practice and you were grabbing your stuff and running in late.
Yep.
I was totally scared by that. And then also the high school I went to, as I mentioned, very, very diverse. So I learned a lot in that regards of playing football. So, yeah, I mean, it's extremely dangerous for a lot of people. There's no doubting that. But sometimes we do forget about the positives of team sports like that and character building when we're focused on a lot
right.
of the physical things.
And it forces you to work within a team framework. And as James so eloquently stated, guys from all different places of this country and situations and socioeconomic difficulties. But you have to come together for one goal, and that's to win football games. And so when you mesh and meld all those different personalities, you're not going to agree 100% with everything. I've said it a number of times on this show that you're not going to be buddy-buddy with everyone in that locker room, but you're there for a purpose, and somehow you find a way to iron out your differences or at least put them on the back burner for 3-4 hours on a given day and go out there and try to compete as one.
Coming right back.
Follow the guys on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
It is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
I love this broadcasting business.
Yeah. I missed that. What'd you do?
No. We just had to wave off some. yellow flag. Caution. No. Caution.
I'm gonna leave.
We had a caution. That's all. Debris on the track.
I know. I was panicking. I was ripping these. I ripped this out.
We had a little debris on the track. That's all. We're going to clean this mess up and get back to you.
Yeah. Right. We will.
Yeah.
Without further ado, here's Andrew.
Yes.
A man who actually has it together this
yes.
morning. What's going
That's
on, Andrew?
Debatable. After shoulder surgery in March, Cam Newton made his preseason debut last night in Jacksonville. He made the most of his one series.
Out of the shotgun, here they come. Quick throw. Slant pattern, KB. Benjamin into the end zone. Touchdown. The Panthers score on their opening drive.
Told that's Jim Zocchi on Panthers Radio. The drive went 10 plays. Newton wanted more.
I just wish I would have played a little longer. Yeah, I feel behind in a lot of ways.
But will you be ready for week one?
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, Jags head coach Doug Marrone says he's in no rush to pick between Chad Henne and Blake Bortles. Neither was great last night. Henne led 2 scoring drives. Bortles threw a touchdown, but was also picked off. Jay Cutler, 5 for 805 yards and a score. Jay Ajayi scored twice on the ground as the Dolphins scored their most preseason points since 1999, but lost in Philly 38-31. 2 touchdown passes from Carson Wentz. The Rockies snapped their 4-game slide yesterday afternoon in Kansas City. Then the Cardinals couldn't keep pace in the NL wildcard chase at night.
Infield all the way up. Breaking ball on the right side. Pass to Navajerko. That's a base hit. Jabari Blash will score. Hoffy will hold. Margot, he'll go to third. Padres by 3-2 here. Nobody out. Single, single, single in the ninth inning.
Hit 299-300. That's our boy Teddy Leitner.
Yeah.
Padres radio. Nobody's better. San Diego 4-3 win in St. Louis last night, dropping those Cardinals 5 games behind the Rockies. The Rangers won behind the Twins for the second AL wild card after a 3-0 win in Anaheim. The Angels stay a half game behind Minnesota, who lost at the White Sox 5-1. Cleveland thumped Boston 13-6 to avoid a 3-game sweep. And the Nats outlasted the Astros 5-4-11. And rest is also at the forefront of the G League schedule, the rebranded D League, also eliminating 4 games in 5-night stretches and decreasing the number of back-to-backs. By the way, there are a record 26 teams this season in the G League thanks to four expansion clubs, the Erie BayHawks, the Wisconsin Herd, the Memphis Hustle, and the Agua Caliente Clippers of Ontario.
Agua who?
The Agua Caliente Clippers of Ontario.
Jeez.
The Hot Water Clippers of Ontario.
Hot Water California.
Yeah.
California.
All right. This game preview is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. If your weekends are reserved for football, then you should be watching the games at B-Dubs, where all the fans are there for the same reason. To watch sports, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports, Brewers, and Dodgers, a three-game set in L.A. Dodgers picked up their 90th win on Thursday.
Damn Dodgers.
And send Kenta Maeda to the hill tonight.
That's right. The Brewers sit three games behind the Cubs for the top spot in the NL Central, 3.5 games out of a wild card spot.
So this Taylor Swift song came out last night, and she has been quiet for a while. She had that album.
Well, she was making a lot of noise a couple weeks ago after she countersued that dude who grabbed her bum.
Sure, I'm talking musically. Of course, there was plenty
Shake
of noise
off.
From that, but she hadn't put out an album in a couple of years, and this song came out, and Look What You Did or something like that.
Look What You Did, You Grabbed My Bum.
Yeah, I don't know if that's part of the song. And she put some snake up on Twitter the other day.
I saw that. That was strange.
And right now, the reaction to the song has not been great. Early returns. I don't know if this is one of those songs that you listen to one time, you don't like it, and then you listen to it five times and you love it. I don't know if it is, but I heard it. I listened to it. I'm not a fan of it right off the bat. And she's like yelling at somebody again. And you've got Katy Perry and Taylor Swift going back and forth with each other constantly.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they can't stand each other.
Why is that? What's fun this?
It all started, I think, with like one of them stole a backup dancer from the other one.
Oh, and come on.
I don't know. That's how it started. But it just keeps going. I'm just, like, enough now.
A backup dancer.
I think that's how it started, actually. And they don't shut up about it, the two of them. They just, like, okay. Bad Blood 2 years ago was written about Taylor Swift. Katy Perry put out a song just recently on her album. And now Taylor Swift's still going about it. It's like, come on. Enough! Get over this!
Doesn't that sound like that one part in that so, ooh, you so horny.
No.
Does he know that part?
You so horny.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, look what you made me do. It sounds similar to that.
No.
Yes, it does.
No, anyway, that song, blah.
Well, you was feeling kind of horny.
Oh, that's even more blah. Blah.
I actually think that Tierney sounded better than that Taylor Swift song.
Well, the music he was singing to definitely was better.
When I met you last night, baby.
Did you finish? Oh, wow. And I can't sing a lick, so that's pretty bad. Did you finish watching the last episode of The Defiant
Ones? I did not last night, no. Okay. No, I didn't. I tried to go to bed extra early last night. So.
Oh, you got the email that I didn't see.
Yeah, it didn't really work out all that well.
Baby.
No, I have to, one more episode to go of that. It might happen tonight. I'm not doing anything tonight. Cannot go out tonight. Yeah, last night I didn't want to go out. I had a friend who wanted to go do something last night, didn't do it. Tonight I gotta make sure that this trip does not kill me. So I want to go into it. As close to tip-top shape as I can be, which is not much. Mm-hmm. But whatever good feeling I can get out of myself heading into this trip, I'm going to do it hydrated, some sleep.
What time's your flight?
Like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you have a 6 a.m.? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yep. And I'm getting out to Vegas 10 a.m. their time.
Cool. And the undercard begins at 6 p.m.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Their time, 9 o'clock our time. So you'll have time to hang out, walk around, check out the sights and stuff.
Yeah. I could even go to that Big Three championship game if I wanted to.
Yeah, go to Big Three championship game.
And you
got a buddy going with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And this guy is, like, loves things like this. I know a lot of people do, but he is just, he doesn't get a chance to do a lot of cool stuff. So he is all aboard this thing. Like, this is right up his alley. He's so excited. Like, he called his dad right away. He called his brother right away.
Mm.
Everybody's flipping out for him. They're all excited for him. Like, he's just over the moon for this thing. So I might have more fun just watching him experience it than experience it myself. But no, I'm fired up. I am excited.
Cool.
Once that alarm goes off tomorrow and I'm on the way to the airport, then I'm really going to start to to go nuts.
So you don't even get that extra day to sleep in like you usually would on the weekend, but you can sleep on the plane, man.
Yeah, I'll try. Yeah, I know.
You can sleep on the
I think
plane.
I have to just give that up for this trip. I got to forget about that stuff.
Take one for the team.
Because, I mean, think about it. In 10, 15 years from now, am I going to remember how much sleep I got on this trip?
No,
you won't. Or am I going to think about the experience that I had?
You'll remember the experience, and I just wish I was there to experience it with you.
Yeah, well, you could have been.
I know I could have been.
And you blew it.
I did not. You blew it. Blow it.
You should have called off that preview show.
That's right. I'm going to do that right now. Hey, can we cancel that? Can we push that back to next?
Yeah, nobody. I mean, come on. Just tell them to
nobody
go to
what?
Nobody cares.
You're crazy. We have 80 million people watch that preview show tomorrow on CBS at 2:30.
I'm kidding. I know.
I know. 80 million folks watch.
I'm just trying to make it so you can go out there. I want you to go out there.
I wanted to go.
Tell them to go to CBSSports.com.
Why couldn't they just
read about it?
Why couldn't I do it from the CBS affiliate in Vegas?
You get 80 million people watching that
show?
Hell
no.
I was going to say.
82 million.
How many do you get? Do you
know? I don't know. Like knows.
A couple hundred thousand?
What?
I don't
more
know.
Than that?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
The preview show?
Yeah.
Get more than that.
Well, then how much do you get?
I don't know.
All right, roughly estimate.
A couple million, maybe.
A couple million, 2 million?
Yeah. Who knows?
2 million people?
I'll take it. Somebody, please, mama, watch the show, okay?
2 million people watching.
I worked hard.
That's got to be cool.
Come on.
You get nervous?
Nervous? What is that? Kick nervous right in the ass. Sometimes.
Yeah. All right.
What was my line again? Oh, yeah. You made me do that.
Coming up next, we've got some NFL football to talk about.
We do.
And at the top of the hour, Ray Boom Boom Mancini on this fight. So keep it right here.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
It is Gio and Jones. That's right. Brian Jones, very violent man. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio. The road ahead is brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. This weekend's race is in Wisconsin for the Johnsonville 180.
Give me some. You want some? I want some. You like Johnsonville brats?
I want you to read the read. That's
I
all
want
I care
Johnsonville
about. Asking me these.
Come on! Road America Track hosted 7 Xfinity races since 2010. Different driver winning every time. Who's going to win this week? I'm going to lay a new name on you. You ready?
Yeah.
Brennan Poole.
Never heard of him.
I haven't either. He's going to win.
You never heard of Brennan Poole?
But he's going to win.
Well, what?
He's from Sacramento. He's about 5'9".
He's 5'9"?
Yeah,
he's
going
to win.
What
else does his Wikipedia page say?
Chip Ganassi Racing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. Why he's going to win. Yeah.
Advance Auto Parts introduces speed perks. Spend $100 to get $20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards to carry, no points to keep track of, no nonsense.
Yeah, no nonsense. Like Xfinity Racing and allowing the guys at the higher level to race Xfinity Racing. No nonsense. Stop doing it. Kyle Busch is upset about that. He won Xfinity Race, I think, last weekend. Somebody said that you guys shouldn't be allowed to race both circuits. I agree with that. Be the big club or the small club. Come on.
I'm disappointed in Shady McCoy.
I am too.
He had a lot to say about Colin Kaepernick, and I totally disagree with his take on the situation. It's something that we've talked about for a while now, but his quote was that Colin Kaepernick isn't good enough to be worth the distraction of a team signing him. He said it's a lot more than just he's not on the team because he doesn't want to stand for the national anthem. That may have something to do with it, but I also think it has a lot to do with his play. I'm sure a lot of teams wouldn't want him as their starting quarterback. That chaos that comes along with it, it's a lot. He went on to say, as a team trying to win and not have a distraction on the team, I just take that as a player. There's certain players that could be on the team with big distractions, and there's other players that it's not good enough or not worth it. I think his situation is not good enough to have him on the team with all the attention that comes along with it. Because I'm sure if a guy like Brady or whoever your favorite player or Odell Beckham or a guy like that, you deal with that attention and play him. So it's the age-old discussion of you can get away with anything if you can play. But once again, what exactly is the thing that's going to be so distracting to the team that it's going to sink them that Colin Kaepernick brings along? What is that exactly? So, yeah, he may not start for a team. He may be a backup on the team.
people will show up to his first practice. They'll ask him a bunch of questions. They'll ask the team a bunch of questions. That first national anthem, the camera will be on him. And then it's over. It's over after that. And oh, by the way, Shady, look around the rest of the league and what's going on. You've got players doing their own protests. You have other players in the locker room supporting those players. And the games are still going on.
Yeah.
What is the distraction?
Thank you.
He was voted best teammate by his 49ers team last year. What is the thing that you're afraid of?
Shady is being shady, and he's drinking the Kool-Aid because that's been that line of a defense or opposing Kaepernick being on a team has been debunked time and time again, just as you've done time and time again on this show, and you just did it one more time right now. It makes no sense. You've got different teams protesting in their own way, showing their support for what it was Kaepernick brought to the forefront a season ago. They're doing it. Has it been a distraction? Malcolm Jenkins, Chris Long, they're the Philadelphia Eagles. You had numerous Cleveland Browns players the other day. Was that a distraction? Did the game continue to go on? Were they asked about it? Yes, they were asked about it. And then they went to practice and did what they do on their usual schedules. You have Michael Bennett and the guys out of Seattle. You have Marshawn Lynch, the Oakland Raiders. Is that a distraction? Or are they still going out and practicing, going to meetings, and the games are still taking place? Am I correct?
Yeah.
So what's the distraction? There's not a damn distraction. Is it because he is the head of this movement? Is that the reason why he's still remains unemployed? Because you have a number of guys in the NFL that have picked up the baton and they're running with it. So what distraction are you talking about? It's not a damn distraction. Didn't say it's play. We just had a guy who had to chase his ass, James Laurinaitis, on the show. He had to defend him. Shady McCoy, you haven't had to defend him. You just had a guy who said he can still ball.
Right.
Essentially what he said, he can still ball. Go try to defend him. Maybe they took him out of his comfort zone, making him more of a pocket passer, but he can still ball. So I'll add more credence to what Laurinaitis had to say because he's the one that's had to go out and try to corral this guy. You surround him with some talent. You give him an offensive line that can block. And I think you will see the Colin Kaepernick that we witnessed helping lead the San Francisco 49ers to conference championship game after conference championship game and also on the cusp of winning the Super Bowl.
It's a total myth that they're going to have to deal with craziness.
Yeah. What is it?
Those
who oppose him are going to come out and protest at your facility? Let them protest.
And by the way, there's more support for him now than there's ever been.
Yep.
I mean, when you see the protests, it's for him now. And there's just no way that the team, that fans of a particular team are going to stop going to the games or cancel their. There's not going to be enough of that that's going to have a financial impact on the team. Matt's in New York on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Matt.
More than any year, I'm actually in Buffalo.
Matt, your phone is terrible.
Is going in and out.
Hold on. I'm
going
to put you on hold. Hopefully, if you're on a speakerphone or a Bluetooth or something, try to get off that. And we'll see if we can get you back up because I want to hear what you have to say. I just couldn't hear a damn thing.
Right.
And whether if it was Michael Sam or Tim Tebow or Colin Kaepernick, you know, this idea that you can't bring in a guy because of extra attention and that's going to break your locker room up is a myth. it's a damn myth. Eric's in Detroit on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Eric?
Hey, good morning. Happy weekend. You know, I am so sick and tired of so many people with these lame excuses about why Kaepernick is not in the league and these lame excuses. I mean, what distraction is it? There's no company policy that these guys are violating. And if there's a company policy that states that these guys have to stand for the national anthem, that's hypocritical in and of itself because not all of them are Americans. And let's talk about the Star-Spangled Banner to begin with. It was based on the Battle for Baltimore. At the time it was written, it was a poem that spoke about freedom and a country that's about freedom. But at the time, black people were slaves. So all this self-righteousness for so many people, particularly blacks, you got James Harrison talking about the only people that should be sitting down for the national anthem is someone in a wheelchair. How ignorant of a statement is that? I mean, people got to wake up. Particularly black people, you got to know your history and understand. And I'm not about Colin Kaepernick getting a job. My stance is this. He has been colluded against and blackballed because he stood up for a conviction of which the majority race in this country does not like. He did not violate a company rule. You got people that commit all kinds of crimes. slap women, beat women that have been welcomed back to the NFL, and they're tripping about someone that has a conviction and belief in doing something, you know, walking like he's talking as far as the contributions he's made to the black community, donating $100,000 a month of his own money. No one's talking about that, but they sit on the fact that this guy stood, I mean, sat or kneeled for the national anthem, something that does not even speak to the freedom of blacks in America to begin with.
Yeah, Eric.
So all this self-righteousness is dignity. Shut up, people.
Yeah.
He's doing.
Yeah, Eric, and well said. And I do think that the tide's starting to turn publicly on Colin Kaepernick. I think right now he's got more support than he's ever had from communities, from the public. But I still don't think that there's any owner out there that has the guts to go out and give the green light to the GM and the head coach to sign him. Because this is an owner thing. This is an owner
thing. Right. It starts at the top.
Right.
Except the owner, Khan, Rashad Khan.
Yeah.
They're with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He said, I would say absolutely sign him. If the coaches and the GM came to me and said, we want to sign Colin Kaepernick, he came out the other day and said, yes, absolutely, go ahead and sign him.
Well, who's the guy then that doesn't want him on the coaching staff or the general? I mean, was it Tom Coughlin?
No, he didn't say that. He was.
No, but I'm saying, but that quarterback situation sucks.
Right, I agree.
So yeah, what did he talk to the guy?
Khan was asked, "Would you okay it if your football operations people came to say that?"
I got that. I'm saying that means that someone in that organization is saying no.
Yeah.
So who is that?
Right.
Is it Doug Marrone?
And James Harrison did not make that comment. That was been proven wrong and false, Eric. But everything else you said was right on point. It's all about deflecting.
Ray Boom Boom Mancini next. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.